Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And I'm joined, as always, by Venerable Tom Dorian.
Present.
Waiting on that miracle. And we have Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And so we, guys, this is getting exciting.
It is.
Because, well, you know, you say that. I say that. But it's like, people are going like, wait, what am I missing? It's like we're still in Lent.
Yes.
But like, this is the thing. We are entering the high holy days of the church.
Right.
Right. Everything points to Easter, and then everything leads from Easter, right? So really, this holy week, this week that starts with Palm Sunday, is really launching into like the Holy of Holies, the holiest time of the church. And really, I want to say that can be the most impactful days in church life, like so in the liturgies, in the spirituality, in the spiritual nature of the church, in the great mysteries of the church, and everything culminates certainly on Easter, but it's like this lead up is like, and you know, we have these 6 weeks of Lent.
Yes.
Right? And here we are in we're in the sixth week of Lent, which is, you know, that sixth Sunday of Lent is Palm Sunday. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think like, ah, oh, we're here. Finally, I can start drinking Diet Coke again, right? And it's like, whatever you gave up and whatever penance you've assigned for yourself, and these are good things and they're holy things to do. And the thing is, we're already thinking we're done. And there's that feeling for some folks. And some people, I know we're probably preaching to the choir. The people who are listening to the Catholic Cafe are like the most holy people on the planet, obviously.
It's being invested by the Vatican, actually. Yeah, I'm
sure. They're opening up they call it a multi-cause. Yeah, so all of the listeners of the Catholic Cafe are going to be voted into sainthood soon, I'm sure. But all that aside, one of two things is happening. We got really holy people that are like going, this is great, and he's right. This is the pinnacle of Lent, and this is leading me beautifully into the Easter mysteries. But there's other folks who might be listening right now who maybe, let's just be honest, because this has been me on many occasions, are not having the best Lent. Or they look back and go like, yeah, you know. And so they might look at if I had a title for this show today, it'd be like Holy Week Again, right? Because it's like so often we look at Holy Week because depending on our age, we've had that many Holy Weeks
right.
in our lifetime. And it's like, it's Holy Week again. And somebody's like, oh, it's Holy Week again, you know? And like we get all excited about Christmas. I don't care what the situation is. It's like, it's almost Christmas,
right.
You know, falls in the air, whatever. And you start feeling like Christmas. But I don't know that we all feel like Easter. I don't think we all experience Easter in that same way. And we might think of like Holy Week again as this sort of like, man, I really just have not done what I'm supposed to do. And maybe next Lent, I'm going to do better. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a firm amendment in my life, a purpose of amendment, you know, and I'm going to do better next Lent. But here's the thing. I want to encourage people to, if you're feeling like that, if you're feeling like you really haven't done everything you could do this Lent, Lent's not over.
Yeah.
Right? And so what I want to do is I want to walk through Holy Week in a way that we're talking to people who are like, well, what do you mean? What? How can I make this the best Lent ever? And I've really ruined or wasted or just kind of muddled through 5 weeks.
Right.
How do I fix that?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know what? You picked the best time to fix it. Right? So the way I want to look at this is like, let's just go day by day through Holy Week.
Yeah.
And let's start with Palm Sunday when most people are listening to this show. So Palm Sunday is like the readings are all about the grand entrance of Jesus heading into his passion. So he's entering triumphantly into Jerusalem. So we have all these hosannas and processions at parishes. We're doing all these things. We're processing the book of the Gospels. You know,
palms
are distributed, and we're all like waving our palms. Mm-hmm. And we're like, take them. And then we read the passion.
Right. And some people, you know, might associate Palm Sunday with Oh, that's that day with the really long reading.
Yes,
oh,
I know. Man. I know. And that's okay.
But it's as much as you might not like to sit through a very long reading, imagine sitting through the Passion if you're Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, yeah. I think at
and
some
there wasn't
point,
much sitting there.
Yeah, there was not much sitting. Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, going into your Palm Sunday, knowing that, yeah, you're going to be standing for a while. And, yeah, some people it might be hard for them to keep their attention focused and stuff like that. But I would just encourage us to remember why we're there and to step into that with love.
So
and say, I know that about myself, and I'm going to make a gift of myself by throwing myself into that moment.
That's Ziggy, that's exactly what you should do. And, again, when you start to feel like that, I think just say, I'm making a firm purpose of amendment.
Yeah.
You're right. FPA, firm purpose of amendment. FPA. Just say that to yourself. And I promise you, that gets you through. And you're like, hey, I knew it was going to be like this. I knew I would reject this long reading. I knew I would not be into it. I'm making a firm purpose of amendment. I'm just, you know. And now don't mumble it too loud while you're sitting there. You know, people going like, what are they saying over there?
Right.
Is that some kind of Latin? What are they doing? I don't know what they're doing.
It was participatory, but what is that? Right.
Yeah, crucify him. Firm purpose of amendment. You know, you're shouting out to the people. So, but the thing is, it's a state of mind, right?
Yeah.
And remember, we can use Palm Sunday as Jesus is making his victorious, his grand, his triumphant entrance in Jerusalem. We are making a victorious, grand, and triumphant entrance into Holy Week.
Yes.
I mean, we're on the road. We're walking in the procession. We've got our palm branches. We're you know, do all the things, right? You know, Palm Sunday is one of those, you know, we've heard of ANP Catholics.
Yeah.
C&E Catholics, right? Christmas and Easter. ANP Catholics, you know, the old grocery stores, but Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday. Those are the people show up for those days who haven't been, because they get some little takeaways, little free parting gifts. Thanks for showing up to our liturgy. Here's your ashes, or here's your palm. And the thing is, okay, go ahead and get those things, you know, and take them home and put them up behind the crucifix on your wall and let it sit there for a year, you know, and then and burn the old ones in the fireplace. There's all these things that we can do that participate, but really, use this as a grand entrance into Holy Week.
Yes.
For yourself. And there's something I remember in the readings, and I don't know which reading it's in, but how many times in Scripture Jesus says, don't tell anybody that I am the Messiah. Do not tell them that I am the Christ. Do not tell them about this miracle. Don't tell them this. Don't tell them what you just saw. Don't tell, you know. And he says, don't. It's not my time yet. And then the readings say, that even the stones would not be silent.
Yeah.
Right? And so think about it like that. Think about, like, you're the stone, and it's time for you to say something. Right?
Yeah.
It's time for you to go, like, okay, firm purpose of amendment.
Right.
I'm going to do something different this Holy Week. And I think all of us are capable of that. And I think it's just a way to, I don't want to say re-energize, but really just to revitalize a lackluster spiritual life.
Yeah.
Is to, like, it's get on the roller coaster. Right, just go ahead and get in and buckle in and, like, put your arms up in the air and let's do this last week of Lent in a way that is triumphant.
Right.
So, all right, so we do that on Palm Sunday. Then we move to this Monday after Palm Sunday, and it's the last Monday of the sixth week of Lent, and it's a lull. Right? It's a lull for most people because it's like, well, okay, so we go back to Lent. So The way I'm looking at this in my mind is there is this one day in that's like a typical Lenten day.
Yeah.
All the other days have things going on.
Yeah.
But Monday has nothing going on.
Right.
So it's your opportunity to go, like, okay, where I failed previously during Lent, you know, where I just really wasn't that on my game, my Lenten game, my desert journey, I didn't really do it. Go into the desert on Monday.
Yeah.
Do a personal fast. Go ahead and make it a fast day. Do something on that Monday, something penitential that makes you go, like, okay, all right, I'm going to make up for all the other lackluster Lenten days.
Right.
I'm going to make this a super Lenten day for me. It's an ordinary day. There's no great big giant church events. Maybe go to Mass, do what you can, but the reality is, reinvest yourself and say, you know what, because the Lord is merciful, no matter what I've done, I am welcome back into the fold, right, when I'm penitent. And I ask for his mercy, he'll give it. But you know what? No matter how bad my Lent has been or how good, this can top it all. This Monday, right. This Monday of Holy Week, because I'm looking at this like firm purpose of amendment, right? Maybe that's what I should title the show, firm purpose of amendment.
Yeah.
I want to fix things, you know? And so that's what your Monday should be. Now, move into Tuesday. Tuesday is a day that a lot of people go like, well, that's just another ordinary day, isn't it? Not all dioceses, but of a very large number of them,
right,
will do their chrism mass on Tuesday.
Yes.
And if you don't know what the chrism mass is, I think we've probably done a show on chrism mass. And the reality is it's a beautiful experience that unifies the local church, the particular church, right? So like the diocese, whatever diocese you're in, there's going to be a chrism mass where it's going to be typically at the cathedral, wherever your cathedral is, and whoever your bishop is, and all of the priests, they're going to essentially renew their priestly vows. Yeah. They're going to prostrate themselves, and they're going to lay down. You know, it's just a sight to see. And then the bishop's going to bless all the oils at that mass that are going to be used throughout the diocese for that next year.
Including for the confirmation and baptism, and then also the oil that's in anointing of the sick, but also the oil that's used to ordain priests.
Yep, the chrism.
Yeah.
All this stuff is going to be, and you get to be part of that.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are like, do I need to be doing all this stuff? You know, I'm a busy person. It's like, okay, but I'm just trying to help you figure out how to make this a special Lent, and maybe you haven't done this, and this is an opportunity to do something different. Because, I don't know, all the chrism masses, oh, I'm a deacon, so I kind of, not only say have to go,
yeah.
But in fact, I'm going to be a deacon of the mass this year, was asked yeah. to be, so, okay, I'm definitely going. And the thing is, I go because I'm a deacon, and because that's everyone's supposed to go, right? But I look out, and it's like, yeah, it ain't full. You know, typically, you know, you think, well, if your diocese has, ours has some around, you know, but somewhere between 60 and 70,000 Catholics, and it's like, it ain't 60 or 70,000 people there.
Right.
You know, you're lucky if you get, you know, 500, 600, maybe 1,000, you know, on a really, really busy. And the thing is, you're like, there's lots of room, so there's a lot of people that, there's just an opportunity for them.
Well, and the thing that's beautiful about the Chrism Mass and is really it's a celebration of the priesthood, and it's a beautiful day to honor. Like, even if you're not able to make it out to a Chrism Mass, taking that Tuesday to pray for your priest or pray for the priests of your diocese or the priests around the world can make a big difference. I mean, by the way, Holy Week is really tough on our clergy. You know, there's a reason why a lot of them right after Easter Sunday take a nice long vacation, because Lent has been intense and Holy Week is especially intense.
Easter Monday, the Monday after Easter, is a universal diocesan holiday.
Yes, yes. Right? And so another thing to kind of think about is checking in to say, hey, is there a way in which I can be a blessing to my priest, you know, this week or just generally, you know, like... it could be donating a meal or dropping off like an Uber Eats gift card or something like that. You know, whatever it might be that it's just some way to just say, hey, I love you. Even a nice note or something like that, just to make sure that your priest feels seen and appreciated. And also just to make yourself available. Hey, is there some way I can be of service to the parish this week?
Be careful with that though, because you'll be volunteered to do a reading at the Easter Vigil.
I know that's true. That's true. But at the end of the day, we've heard statistics that only like 14% of the churches have people who are actually active, or 14% of the parish congregations are active and are doing 90% of the work is what a lot of folks are doing.
It's the old 20-80 rule, like 20% of the people do 80% of the work.
Yeah.
That's a corporate kind of thing. It varies in various situations, but really there's a fewer people that are doing the bulk of the work.
Right. And so if you are one of the folks who you haven't made yourself available to be of service to the church, this can be a great opportunity to step up, because this is a time in which the church does need help. But also just prayer makes a big difference. Yeah. Saying, I'm going to take this day, I'm going to offer up my prayers for my priest, for our church, and just thanksgiving to God for the gift of the priesthood and the gift of the sacraments. That in itself is a beautiful way to make a gift of
yourself.
All
right, so we are well into Holy Week, and we're already doing more than we've ever done. Right? You've got three power-packed first days of the sixth week of Lent. So let's move to Wednesday. Now, I am somebody, Tom, okay, I'm going to put myself in your camp. You and I are together on this.
All right.
We're ordinary folk in so many ways. I know people think that you are brilliant, right? People look at Tom and go like, you know, he's quiet,
but yeah, right.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. And people think that because I'm an ordained deacon, mm-hmm. you know, in the Holy Roman Church, that I know everything, and I don't.
You really are brilliant.
Yeah, no. But the thing is, at the end of the day, there's a lot of things that I don't know. I'm honest. I try to be honest. I try to learn. I try to embrace more things. And so, you know, so Ziggy here starts talking about Spy Wednesday, and I'm like, the heck are you talking about? And I'm thinking about Spy versus Spy, the old Mad magazine, the two little counter agents or whatever that hated each other or whatever. And it's like,
part of the liturgy.
Yeah, it's a Catholic thing. And it's like, I know some of the things that he's talking about, but I've never heard that term.
I haven't either. No.
Right? Spy Wednesday. So Sam is going to tell us about the Wednesday of Holy Week as Spy Wednesday. What the heck is that?
Well, so the emphasis on the Gospels on Wednesday is on Judas and his betrayal of our Lord, right? And oftentimes it's on Spy Wednesday that you have a homily that's reflecting upon Judas, reflecting upon what was Judas's greatest sin. You know, some people say it was his suicide, but really that's not the case. You know, they might assume that the real thing that his greatest sin, most people would say, is his despair, his failure to forgive himself and to receive God's mercy.
And you're going to hear phrases like, it would have been better that he was never born.
Yeah,
you're going to hear things like that, and then to ruminate on all of those like possibilities and thoughts.
And it's an important time for us to ask ourselves, what are ways that we've betrayed our Lord in our own lives? And it's easy to point our fingers at Judas, but I mean, one of the reasons that we're learning about the story of Judas is because there's a lot to reflect upon, you know, because each one of us has betrayed our Lord in one way or another.
Yeah, I remember when I went to Rome, one of the times I went there and went up the holy stairs that are right across St. John Lateran Church. And you go up those stairs, you know, and you go up on your knees. It's a tradition that you do, and that was very painful. But that's a whole other issue. At the bottom of those stairs, before you go up, there's a beautiful, beautiful ancient statue there that is, it's called the Kiss or something like that, and it's Judas betraying Jesus with a kiss, and it's a life-size statue. It's beautiful, but it like sets your mind before you go up the stairs that Jesus walked in the Praetorium, right? You know, to essentially for his judgment, as it were, human judgment upon him. And it's like it's very introspective.
And one thing to mention, by the way, we had Father Carlos Martins came to Memphis recently during the course of this Lent, brought the relic of St. Jude with him at our cathedral. He's on tour right now. Check to see if he's coming to your town. He gave an amazing homily, and it's available on YouTube. If you type in Father Carlos Martins, St. Jude Thaddeus on YouTube, Carlos Martins, St. Jude Thaddeus, he talks about the two Judases, Judas Iscariot and Jude Thaddeus. He puts you in Holy Week and what it was like for the apostles who scattered, including St. Jude. But he also gives just a powerful reflection on Judas as well, and the difference between Judas and Jude. And I can't recommend that homily enough. It's about an hour, but it's really well worth
it. So you could spend your Spy Wednesday listening to that homily.
Yes.
What a beautiful way to do that.
Good idea.
Right. So let's now move to Holy Thursday.
Woo!
I mean, because now we are, like, so during the morning of Holy Thursday is, you know, just typical Lenten practice. Yeah. But looking forward to this entire, this mini season, it's the shortest separate season, right, in the church, liturgical season. It's a separate season unto itself, the Paschal Triduum, right, the Holy 3 days. And we enter into those Holy 3 days at like the as the sun starts to go down,
right
at dusk on Holy Thursday. And I'm going to say it, and everyone's going to, like, they're going to go Google it and try to figure out if that's true or not. Lent ends on Holy Thursday,
right?
So when the Mass of the Lord's Supper starts, right, when that happens, Lent is over.
Yeah.
And so, but we don't want to look at it like, well, the penitential aspect of my experience is totally done. It's time to celebrate. You know, I can start drinking the Diet Coke again. I can eat the chocolate. I can start doing all the stuff I did. Well, okay, there's some seriously penitential stuff getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
Right? But Holy Thursday is the beginning of this Paschal Triduum.
Yes.
And we need to spell remember it. Something else, huh?
Spell it.
I-T. I'm sorry. No, that was such a dad joke. Dad. No, Triduum. Triduum.
There you go.
Triduum. Mm-hmm. Not Trigium or Tridium or, you know, that sounds like some kind of radioactive element of some kind. Tritium. I've got some tritium on me. You know. But Triduum is just essentially 3 days is what right. Triduum means in the Latin.
It's the crown jewel in our church's liturgy. I mean, it is the most beautiful expression of God's beauty in the liturgy that our church has.
And here's, I'm going to challenge people. Yeah. As you enter the Triduum, because remember, this Lent is going to be your best Lent ever.
Yeah.
You've had the most mediocre Lent, maybe, right? And listen, I'll just be honest. A lot FBA. Of people are going to like, firm purpose of amendment. I'm going to change things. Well, if you're in that boat, then welcome to the Triduum. And this is an opportunity that's I'm going to challenge you here. These are, we call them the sacred 3 days, but these are not three separate experiences. You need to see the Triduum as one long liturgy.
Yes.
And I know people go like, what? But notice, like at the end of the Mass of the Lord's Supper, there is no dismissal. There is no formal dismissal. People don't go like, go forth, the Mass has ended, because the Mass hasn't ended.
Right.
It's not, because it leads into Good Friday, which leads into the Saturday in the tomb, which leads to the Easter Vigil, right? Which leads to Easter Sunday morning. And you start to realize this is all one liturgy that's spread out over 3 days or 3 day experiences, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday into Sunday. And you start to realize, oh, so my challenge is if you go to the Mass of the Lord's Supper Thursday night, and you see the washing of the feet, mm-hmm. and you hear the great homily. I'm preaching this year, so you hear the great homily, you know, and it's like when you experience that, that's awesome. But commit yourself to the Good Friday liturgy, right? Passion of the Lord. Commit yourself to the Easter Vigil. It's like, I'm not going. That's the long Mass, isn't it?
Right.
Don't call it the long Mass. Call it the explosion of opportunity to be with our Lord for an extended period of time.
Well, and one thing to mention as well. So some of our listeners might have never attended the Triduum. Also, it might be that you've attended it, but you know, not all priests are gifted with liturgy, right? And some priests have different gifts. Some are great confessors. They're great community builders, things like that, or preachers. But liturgy is a gift that only some priests have. And so if you've attended a Triduum and you're like, I don't really get what's special about it, or if you've never attended it and you really want to attend a really special one, ask around. Like your cathedral probably has pulls out the stops, you know, to give an outstanding Triduum. You might have like a traditional Latin Mass, you know, from like FSSP or some group like that might offer one. Or there could be some priest in your diocese who's well known to give a beautiful liturgy. It might require a 30, 45 minute drive, but I would really encourage you, if you've never really had your mind blown by a liturgy before, this is an opportunity to have that, and it's worth the drive. And I would also mention too, on Holy Thursday, plan to stay a little bit afterwards, because there's an opportunity to adore our Lord on Thursday night, and that's
right,
special too.
Right. And so again, the liturgy itself is this long extended 3 day liturgy. There's three liturgical high points in there, but so we got that Holy Thursday, which will, as that Mass of the Lord's Supper will quote unquote ends.
Yeah.
Right. There's a procession with the Blessed Sacrament to an altar of repose there at your parish or the parish that you're attending for this liturgy. And then there's an opportunity to adore, to spend an hour with the Lord in prayer.
Yes.
Like as if we're back in the Garden at Gethsemane, right?
Yes.
We're preparing for his passion, right? So then those things typically end at midnight, and then you have an opportunity to go home, and then most people are off work. It's one of those kind of weird secular days mm-hmm. in the business world where they just like, look, we ain't going to fight this Good Friday thing. And they even sometimes even call it Good Friday, but they don't know why, but they have that Friday off, right? The Friday, we're having, you know, Friday before Easter, right? And so then you have this opportunity to then experience the passion in a unique way. It's a day of fast for the church, and you're really, and it's really an awesome opportunity to put yourself in that passion. This is the high point of the passion.
Yes.
Right? And then you continue that fast, and the church invites you to I guess, know that Jesus is in the tomb on Saturday.
Yes.
Right? And know that, and to experience that Saturday, continue your fast on Saturday. I know some people got to dye Easter eggs and you got to get certain things ready, but the reality is, remember that Saturday Jesus is in the tomb. Yeah. That's why the church says no masses, no weddings, no celebrations. This is Jesus is in the tomb.
Yeah.
Right? And then go to the Easter Vigil. So it is so rich with all the signs and the symbols, the bells and the smells and all the stuff that happens, all the people coming into the church, all the different things that are going on, and it's so rich with things that are just that just essentially spew Catholicism out. I mean, it's just like it just pours out. And it's the vigil of vigils, as St. Augustine called it. And it's just a beautiful experience and an opportunity. And you need to do that. And then, look, I'm going to be honest with you. If you do that, go ahead and just go all in and put the cherry on top and go to Easter Sunday morning mass. Mm-hmm. Right? So even though you've already been, you've fulfilled your obligation by going to the Easter vigil. And, you know, high fives all around because you went to the long mass, you know, and whatever. And that's great. But spend Sunday with our Lord, Easter yeah. Sunday. It's a whole different character that morning. It's beautiful. So this is what you can do for your Holy Week. And let's just pray that this is the holiest of Holy Weeks for each of you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.